We're about to finish up now. The end is nigh. I'm just going to hand over to a man who's far more eloquent than I, just to kind of close proceedings. Welcome to the stage, Mark Fisher.
This is live, though, if you want to walk. Yeah. I'm not very good with those fixed mics. I always sort of get away. I'm here to send everyone home miserable. I really want to admit a certain level of misery which we actually do feel, and then we'll all actually feel a bit better. That's dialectics, I think. But partly what I want to sort of puncture is the euphoria of digitality that informs some of the things I've seen today, but also is hangs over the culture as this constant kind of injunction to be positive about this digital revolution. My simple claim will be, the digital revolution has been a catastrophe for music culture, actually. And what I'm going to talk about today, just briefly, so don't worry, I'm not going to keep you that long, is two aspects of that, really, in relation to time. First, I'm going to talk about a crisis of history, and second, I'm going to talk about a crisis of the time of experience itself, of individual experience, so-called, and the two are related. Because I think my basic claim would be that there is a relation between the rise of capitalist digital culture, because I think that's what essentially we're talking about, and the decline in rates of innovation in music. And my simple claim here would be that there's basically nothing. And I mean literally nothing, that has come out in the 21st century that couldn't have come out in the 20th. This is what I mean by a crisis of historicity, a flattening of historical time, a massive deceleration in the rate of innovation and a lowering of expectations in respect of that. And certainly for me, someone like me, born in the late 60s, came to musical consciousness in the early 80s, were used to a rapid turnover of musical styles, where music was dated not by the year, but by the month. As we've gone into the 21st century, that sense of historical marking of music has dissipated somewhat, I think, and there's an increasing flattening of time. Some of you will be familiar with Simon Reynolds' book, Retromania, where he makes a similar argument. But I think actually we're beyond the stage of retro, that we're now at the stage where retro compared to what? Practically everything is retro. Such that retro can't now be distinguished as a kind of specific kind of genre style. It's more the other way around. I think this started in the 90s when we were asked to we were invited to see Britpop as some brand new thing rather than what we all sort of knew what it was, a kind of a rehashing of and collage of a whole set of familiar things. I think in the 90s there was still a strong contrast between this kind of pastiche culture, pastiche music, and other forms of musical invention. But in the 21st century, everything's collapsed in much more into that generalized retro mode, which, as I said, can no longer be identified as retro. It's all trad, no mod, you could say, and such that even that distinction becomes problematic now. I think that this is the underlying despondency. I think underlying the euphoria of digitality, and for me then the question is why is this? Simon in his book puts a lot of emphasis on the sheer weight of the past, the access to the past, which was unprecedented. The weight, you know, the ease with which we can access history now. And that, you know, but I think that weight of the past, paradoxically, is what weakens the sense of historical time. Makes everything into this simultaneity, and we lose a sense of historical narrative. But I think that's only part of it. I think the internet itself is only part of it. What we've also got to talk about is, you know, shifts in forms of exploitation. I know it's the last few sessions, the questions about exploitation have come up quite a lot. And, you know, what is the current form of exploitation? It's not like we couldn't think about the good old days of exploitation, where just labour was exploited. You know, you go to work, you'd be bored, you'd make something, that thing will be sold for profit, and you could go home. Now, that's not enough. Our very subjectivity is retailed. I mean, you know, this is the Mark Zuckerberg world which we're all inside. You know, our subjectivity, our enthusiasms, our passions. You know, capitalism increasingly uses this rhetoric because, you know, this is essentially what is selling and what is drawing from us. You know, this is linked with, I mean, I think it's quite significant then that the kinds of technology that affected music culture in the last 15 years or so have been to do with distribution and consumption rather than production. You know, if we talk about music, the key items of kind of music technology, in the 20th century, you're talking about wah-wah pedals, samplers, etc., with all of the emphasis on production. That now the emphasis is on consumption and distribution to the deficit of production. I mean, it's utterly catastrophic, actually. You know, for musicians, a lot of what has happened. You know, one wouldn't want to hark back to the days of you know, major record companies as if these were some halcyon period. You know, major record companies have never been benevolent. They've always been in the exploitation business, but at least there was a moment when that major record companies could give musicians resources. Now that's what it was to be given an advance. Now, as the you know, with the tendency of recorded music to be, you know, the tendency to it to either be decommodified or to be priced at zero, you know, that has destroyed that revenue stream for musicians in the future, or as at least you know, we can't really imagine that revenue stream persisting for long. And what does that mean? Does that mean that musicians are freed up to be more creative? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Part of the key, one of the key underlying ideas of our corporate overlords and their religion, neoliberalism, which they don't really believe, but they want us to believe in it, is the idea that creativity, you know, is infinite, is equally distributed amongst people, and you know, it just needs to be allowed. We just need to be allowed to express it. But actually, you know, there are conditions for the emergence of creativity. And if we look at the efflorescence, particularly of creativity in British music, let's say, that depended on, you know, certain conditions. That depended on ultimately musicians having the time to be absorbed in their work, to be absorbed in what they were doing, to be experimental, to follow the logic of the music where it was leading. This kind of time is not really available to anybody anymore. This will be my big claim, the connection between this crisis of historicity, the failure of innovation on the one hand, and the experience of time on the other hand. as kind of capitalist cyberspace has taken over increasing areas of our subjectivity, that there is no refuge from it. That, you know, as Spencer was saying in the last panel, we can't just escape from advertising, corporate injunctions, the destruction of our attention, except by an increasingly deliberate effort, which is hard to make. And all of the machinery of corporations is set up to habituate us, to addict us, to keep us in this state of where our attention is constantly dispersed. And you know, we can talk about access, but what is access without attention? And I think that was something that came out from the previous panel, that you know, we can make available as much music as you want, but if people don't have the time to devote to it, then what use is it? And you know, it's this. And I think because of the the nature of a time which is constantly interrupted by kind of cyberspatial urgencies. That's one side of this. But the other side of it is what this capitalist cyberspace enables, which is increasingly precarious forms of employment, which are linked with this. You know, because of mobile phones, we can be called into work on a minute's notice. Because of email, our work never ends. There's no such thing as working hours anymore. So our time is endlessly harassed. Our time is endless. We feel inundated by a constant stream of demands which we can't possibly meet. I mean, you know, what is it to look at social media? To look at social media is to be commanded. Look at this. Do this. And that is an incessant weight on our nervous systems, which I think this is a moral argument. I think it's an argument about enjoyment. Our capacity to enjoy things is radically atrophied by this. Our capacity to, you know, the idea of sitting down and just listening to a record for 40 minutes now, that seems like a Herculean kind of commitment of time. What, you mean you mean I'm not allowed to check my phone for 40 minutes? You know, it just seems massive, doesn't it? But of course, it's something that it's something we just used to take for granted, really, that amount of time. But now, it's very difficult for us to find that time, and that's I think that has led to is a cultural crisis. Of course, there's no capacity to produce new things if nobody can be absorbed in them. If nobody can be absorbed enough to make them. Because even when people are making stuff, they're sort of checking their phones as well. And if nobody can be absorbed enough to properly listen to it, you know, there's this general attentional crisis, really. Okay, that's sort of make you miserable. But I'm not. You already feel this anyway. I'm just telling you what we already feel about it. I think.
It's irony. We're running out of time as well.
For me, then this is not inevitable. It's not. I don't believe this can carry on forever. My simple point would be that these issues are not just about technology. They're also about political questions. They're also about banal issues. Like, what is it that supported musicians before? Unemployment benefit, housing benefit, social housing, art schools that were accessible because of student grants, things like that. You know, the stuff that apparently has nothing to do with music culture actually was crucial to it, and certainly to British music culture at a certain time. You know, that has been systematically dismantled. The name for that dismantling is neoliberalism, and that dismantling is continuing. But I think then it is then about a political struggle to win some of that terrain back and to win back a time when we can actually enjoy things and a time free from business and busyness. Thank you.
That was great.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. for that. So the real deal is now upon us. We are about to close up. I want to thank everyone, all the speakers, all the people who have arrived and turned up and had a good day. I hope it's been informative and interesting. And I will point your attention to the slide on the screen. The fun doesn't stop now. We are taking drinks and music. Hopefully, can't really tell in the Friday sun, at that location there from 6 o'clock. So thank you, everyone. And one last round of applause for everyone involved today, please.
Thanks very much to Alex Wilson for organising this, pulling the whole thing together. And if you see him later... If you see him later, buy him a pint. It's his birthday, OK?